back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Thursday, May 31st, 2018, about to head into June, and that's an interesting month too. Anyway, so I mentioned the article over at the Weekly Standard. Fact check: George Soros, the thieving Nazi sympathizer. And subhead, a rewriting of history makes for some strained conspiracies. So, you know, what really happened? Well, we'll hear later from George Soros in his own words. And I just wonder, why does that December 1998 60 Minutes interview where Steve Croft interviewed George Soros, why does that keep disappearing from the web? It just keeps getting memory hold. Hey, George Soros, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. What's the problem? Why don't we bring bad guys' documentation out into the light of day to public scrutiny? Anyway, we'll hear more on that later. So we're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina on the line. And yes, Renee, we've all been brainwashed. It's time to unwash. It's time to get all the heavy metals and things that have been sprayed on us in the brainwashing process out of our physiology.
We were all brainwashed. You know, we don't have a time machine to go check history. History is the easiest thing to lie about because they know you can't check, okay?
And the internet makes that easier. Time goes on.
And so the thing is, and we have been brainwashed by the winners, okay? So, you know, like, I'm going to give this example, okay? Like, oh, we're all from a young age told, oh, yes, the Statue of Liberty, give us your tired, your poor, oh, we're just the most generous, loving people, okay? Well, let's kind of, with a little wisdom and age and knowing human nature, let's kind of examine that from a not-so-kindly perspective, okay?
You know, I'm reminded of...
You know,
like,
you know they all say beggars can't be choosers?
The quote is attributed often to Tolstoy and others. History would be something extraordinary if only it were true, so...
Yeah. So the thing is, okay, so you are desperate. You are desperately poor. Okay, the thing is, you know, because there's another old business maxim that goes, the person who needs the deal the worst loses. So you come here and you are desperately poor. You can't, if somebody offers you a bad job at terrible pay, you know what you're going to do? You're going to take it. You're not going to go, no, I don't know. I think I'll shop around for about a month. You're getting off that boat with nothing, okay? I just don't think all those motives that we were taught that were just, oh, they feel so good, you know, that mythology that we're all raised on. I think, you know, and some of that may be true and for some people, but you know what? People with power have a tendency to take advantage. You know, people, if they have an advantage, they're going to take it, okay? And like I said, that business maxim, the person who needs the deal, the worst loses. So another person that has less power and less options is going to get the short end of the stick, okay? So the thing is, you know, we have to kind of try and look at the things we were taught from another angle, because of course the people who taught it to us taught it to us in the most favorable light for themselves. And so, you know, and this takes some real doing, because I mean, you know, that brainwashing, they get us at a young, see, that's why church and state love to help educate you. Because they know once they kind of get you and teach you and get in your mind when you're young, they have a good chance at having your mind forever. And so, you know, and this takes a lot. You know, I tell you who impressed me recently was, it was at the end of Steve Elkin's show, Mark in Philadelphia, because I thought that guy has made the biggest hurdle, okay, because a lot of this is holds us back is ego. And, you know, a lot of people who did start off bad, I think, too, I know I wasn't even told some of the more negative parts, even though I was taught my Acadian history, and I was brought to the Evangeline Oak and told we came here in exile and told about Longfellow's poem about evangelism, but they really don't get into the ugly details. And I've thought about this. I think a lot of times it's because your elders and adults kind of have a sense of shame, and they want to forget it, okay, about things that are... And I think that's why a lot of our negative history is not passed down. And so, you know, when I heard Mark say, I thought he's passed that hurdle. When he called in and he said, look, I was in the military, my dad was in the military, my grandpa, my great, and he goes down the list, he said, we were all hoodwinked. I thought, okay, he's passed the ego hurdle, this, you know. And he also talked about yes men, and I'm going, oh, thank God, because I've talked about this too. The thing is, it is the puppeteers and the yes men who are the problem. When we waste time on those who are less powerful, who had nothing to do with creating this mess, like the brown people coming over from Mexico, or the Me Too girls, or the millennials, we are doing our puppeteers a favor, okay? The thing is, you know, I really appreciate someone like Mark who can, so not just me, but generations of my family were hoodwinked. You know, that hurts, okay? You have to, you know, because it hurt. None of us likes to admit I was a fool. That hurts.
I think that touches ego. That touches on the nerve more than saying ego. I think what I always think of is Stockholm Syndrome when I think of what you're talking about, because who wants to be the – who wants to admit I was the idiot who voted for somebody, or I was the idiot who donated to – a campaign, yeah, or a whatever effort, you get conscripted to. And so Stockholm Syndrome kicks in and has people defending their kidnapper. And that's no small point, and certainly not overlooked by the, you know, those folks who Washington referred to as cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men. They know that.
Yeah, oh, they absolutely do. And I loved what you said the other day, because that's one of those important little statements when you said, you know, how people have said, well, do you want to be right, or do you want to, like, be on the winning team?
Yeah, I've heard those conversations.
Okay, so you're consciously making a decision to participate with evil.
Exactly.
To take what the psychiatrist who wrote The Road Less Traveled and the Bible talks about, those people who are taking the easy road for themselves instead of the harder right road. That is, the Bible talks about that. That's what that is all about, okay?
Yeah.
And the thing is, but people were kind of like, oh, well, you know, or that same old thing, how a lot of people go, if you confront them with this, well, it's my job.
Well, you got to go along to get along. Yeah.
Got to do
something.
Well, so does the guy that you just screwed over. He's got kids and he loves his too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this, you know, facing one's own foolishness or participation with evil or whatever is difficult. In fact, that's why one of my favorite sayings ever I learned from the psychiatrist Scott Peck: evil happens when people refuse to bear the pain of legitimate guilt. That sentence has stuck with me for decades because it explains so much. People will start, instead of facing it, oh, gee, you know, I kind of participated with evil here out of my own selfishness, the way of go, well, I had to, or everybody does it, or, you know, it's my job, or I got children.
If it was that, yeah, another
it's,
one
it's
is...
It's really my victim's fault. You know, all those rationalizations.
Right, and another one that goes along with it is, if it was really that bad, you know, I mean, I think of the mortgage industry. Back in 2006, I was saying to my then wife, I can't do this anymore. I was a wholesale mortgage wholesale lender rep, basically, and the industry was making obscene amounts of money, so-called, anyway. obscene amounts of money. Basically, people were being bought off to upend America and the housing market. And I figured it out. I'm ashamed to say it took me a while, but you know, I figured it out, and I couldn't do it anymore. And she said, you know, I said, I can't do it anymore. And she said, just, you know, keep your head down, keep doing whatever. And I said, no, you don't understand what we're doing right now. Basically is stealing from your dad's 401k. That's literally what we're doing. That's what's gonna, it'll all shake out soon enough, but that's what we're doing. And she didn't understand it. And so, you know, basically when I started saying that and raising my head and saying, wait a minute, there's a huge problem here. And folks like Brooks Lee Bourne were even talking about it, but no one was listening. And everybody said along the same lines of what you're talking about, the other talking point, they said, you know, if it was really that bad, it wouldn't be, they wouldn't have legalized, we wouldn't have all this regulation that makes it possible to do these things. When common sense tells you in this instance, and the one that I'm talking about, if you take people who have a 40, 45, 50% debt to income ratio and give them a house on 80, 90, in some cases 100% LTV financing, if they hiccup, they'll lose their house in a matter of weeks. And what effect will that have on the broader contingent of society when you have multitudes of people in that situation? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that's bad. But then people say, well, you know, if it was that bad, then it wouldn't be legal, to assuage their troubled conscience and because of the greed, you know. So in accordance with what you're saying, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, a good story about this, too, is that Catherine Austin Fitz tells. She used to belong to this group, you know, kind of, you know, highly evolved, moral, you know, Christian people or whatever. And she, you know, there's about 100 of them or whatever. And she said, I don't remember the exact words, but basically, if it would hurt you financially, like to fix things, would you press the red button? Out of like 100, one hand went up. You know, so the thing is, people, you know, will you know, if it comes to where there's, that's what's holding the system together. You see, it's a lot of people actually who are benefiting off the rottenness of our system. If we try to fix it, they are not going to go along. Even these, and these are people, you know, look good, smell good, talk good, wear suits, outstanding in the community and stuff, you know. And the thing is,
which gets back to my point,
up, you know, would you do it if it's going to hurt your 401k or whatever? And
right.
She was extremely disappointed in what she saw. You know, she's told this red, which causes the red button story multiple times. And like I say, to me, how do we fight this? This is the glue holding this together. Because, you know, like, what was it Gould said? I could hire half the working class to kill the other half. Well, if you
right.
hire them to kill them, you certainly could hire them to enslave them, oppress them, cheat them, and do all sorts of other things. And to me, see, there's so many people that are apparently they have hired, okay, in order to control, cheat, whatever. And these people are in government, law, medicine, the insurance industry, the banking industry. The thing is, they're everywhere, and they're part of the middle class. If
yeah.
you try to fix the system, these are the people that are going to fight you tooth and nail.
Yep.
You see?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, again, I'm reminded of that all reminds me of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's words. You know, Andrew Jackson, again, you know, along the same lines, Washington, cunning, ambitious, unprincipled men. And I was talking specifically about the conscription of, or the capture of Congress, and the way that Andrew Jackson put it. And he, you know, was talking about this paper system that was reinstituted back in 1913. But again, guys like Edward Mandel House were operating from behind the scenes to engineer that years in advance, obviously, decades. And Jackson said the mischief springs from the power which the moneyed interest derives from a paper currency which they are able to control from the multitude of corporations with exclusive privileges which they have succeeded in obtaining in the different states and which are employed altogether for their benefit. And unless you, people, all of us, each one of us, become more watchful in your states and check this spirit of monopoly and thirst for exclusive privileges, and that, you know, again, reminds me of the Sheldon Adelsons, the George Soros, but who, it's difficult. This is why Lord Acton was right. Evil power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, because it's by degrees. As Jefferson said, a departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on. So anyway, Andrew Jackson said, this thirst, the spirit of monopoly and thirst for exclusive privileges, you will in the end find, if you don't check it, you will in the end find that the most important powers of government have been given or bartered away, and the control over your dearest interests has passed into the hands of these corporations. And, you know, all of these warnings, you know, and speaking of corporations, I'm always reminded of Jefferson's words on the subject, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. Again, getting back to that death cult ideology discussion, corporations are a dead thing. They're not a living person, a living man or woman. And the earth has become or has come to be dominated by corporations. Jefferson, I agree, you know. For those who would say, well, you know, Jefferson was an illuminized, intriguing, double-dealing, backdoor agent, okay, but, you know, he wrote in private correspondence, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. That seems to be an anti-illuminized, anti-death cult ideologue sentiment among many others of his. So, interesting. I'm also reminded of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's words, you know, and you mention Philip Zimbardo's The Lucifer Effect, which is another, you know, point in the discussion of conscription to evil, for sure. And the bottom line is we need to stop as all of this information comes to our consciousness and raises our awareness. And hopefully we become more wise and knowledgeable on this subject. We need to stop it. It needs to stop.
Yeah, because the thing is, you know, they take advantage of people's need for food and shelter and everything else. It's like, you know, we all have to ask ourselves, like, you know, if you were left, you know, I can't say I wouldn't do it. It's like, let's say you were in a room with some people, and there was a little bottle of the cure for cancer on a shelf, and you happened to be in that room, and your kid had cancer, and that person left the room for a little while, and you knew you couldn't afford that bottle. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'd grab that bottle and run. You know, so everybody has their price, okay? So the thing is, but some people are cheap, okay? I would do, like I say, if I was in that situation, yeah, I'd try to take that bottle and run like hell. So the thing is, you know, but some people are really bought off extremely cheap. So, you know, this is we have to, on a conscious level, realize how they play us and, you know, and use us to do their dirty work, because those powerful people can't do what they do alone. We're helping, you know, there's a lot of us who are helping them.
That is a fact. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. Another important concept that I covered in the Death Cult Ideology series is the otherizing of people, and that is instrumental in this discussion. As Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it in the Gulag Archipelago, if only it were all so simple. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them, kind of like Donald Trump's discussion in Tennessee and, you know, this otherizing of people, the polarizing. But as Solzhenitsyn wrote, the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being, and who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart, which sort of echoes the sentiments of folks like Philip Zimbardo in his book, The Lucifer Effect, Understanding How Good People Turn Evil, and exploring the concept of blind obedience to authority and how social influences can have a negative impact on anyone's life. So we're all vulnerable. It's part of human nature. It's inbuilt. And bad guys know that. They have studied it for decades, generations at, you know, think tanks that we have everywhere these days. And it's very unfortunate. You know, we played the clip of Jaron Lanier talking about how social media is a bad thing. Technology has gone rogue, in his opinion. And, you know, the concept that Norbert Wiener wrote about in The Human Use of Human Beings, Jaron Lanier even says that's exactly this infinite feedback loop that is a control mechanism. They're, you know, as Jaron Lanier put it, they're behavior modification empires, Facebook, Google, all this stuff. And so it becomes difficult to buck that trend, especially when we're engineered from a very early age, the womb, I would say, to march in lockstep to whatever conventional wisdom tells us, which is typically an oxymoron, by the way. It's a difficult discussion for sure, but it all comes down to each one of us making the right decision, which again gets back to why I mentioned John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles and the radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people. That was the real American Revolution. That is what changes things, which seems to sort of echo, you know, the Bible in certain places. It's a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual battle. Jonah's gospel, I call it. There's a heart change that happens. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Same kind of thing. You see a heart change in people, whether for bad or for good. And it has its consequences. It is incumbent upon each one of us to make the right choices, so to speak, not to be cliche. But
yeah, this discussion is, in other words, what I think we're both trying to do right now is to bring into conscious awareness this to people. Because, you know, like, and even if you don't want to read, you know, Netflix has the movie, The Stanford Prison Experiment, and there's also videos on YouTube. The thing is, people have to get this on a very deep level. And don't you know governments figured this out a long time ago? Boy, you give a man a uniform, it will change his behavior.
For those who don't know, the Stanford Prison Experiment was supposed to be 2 weeks long, and it was students who knew, you know, fellow students at Stanford, and it was an experiment. Everybody knew it was an experiment.
Prisoner and guard.
Yeah, and it was supposed to last for 2 weeks, and after a week, what evolved became so vicious it had to be shut down after a week.
That's right, and I really recommend people, like I said, I'm sure Netflix has it, to watch it, and really because then the other with the Milgram's experiment, the way if an authority figure told somebody and they kept turning up the deal, and it was actors to shock somebody, and they had actors on the other side screaming in pain and stuff, and how these people, if the authority figure,
As long as the white coat said, no, it's okay, it's okay. Then people – the only real objector that I'm aware of is the student who was an electrical – he had an electrical background and said, no, that's a fatal dose of electricity. I can't do that.
So – and the thing is, we know a lot of people – you see, but he knew, okay? A lot of people who don't know, they were like, well, I'll take a chance.
There were a few objectors, but he was one who specifically said, I can't do this because he knew that what he was being asked to do would kill somebody.
Yeah, and so, like I said, these people are they have honed their skills at manipulating people and using their need for food and shelter, you know, to manipulate people to do their dirty work for them. And like I say, unless we have a huge awakening, conscious awareness, where people become aware of the game that these people are playing with their heads, you know,
absolutely. Thank you for that. Appreciate it, Renee. Appreciate it. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, May 31st, 2018. Appreciate your call, Renee. Great sentiments as always, and I think we covered a lot of ground. Moving on, getting back to some of those clips and things, real quick, a couple of quotes. Speaking of Tolstoy, and, you know, these are unsourced. The one I mentioned earlier, history would be a wonderful thing if only it were true. Unsourced, but attributed largely to Tolstoy, among others who have echoed the sentiment. But along those lines, a couple of other unsourced quotes by Tolstoy. History is nothing other than a collection of fables and useless trifles messed up with a mass of unnecessary dates and proper names, which I think is why kids think history is boring the way that it's sanitized and fed to them. Again, James Lowen's Lies My Teacher Told Me is a good read. Not the entire story, but it's sort of a primer, a jumping off point. And Tolstoy allegedly continued, they demand that I learn all this by heart, and if I do not know it, they will give me a one. In other words, I'll get a failing grade. And lastly, again, unsourced Tolstoy, in all history, there is no war which was not hatched by the government alone, independent of the interest of the people, to whom war is always pernicious, even when successful. There is no such thing as a good war. There has never been a good war. Who said that? Oh, gosh, I forget. Anyway, a good war or a bad peace. Was that Franklin, I want to say? Anyway, and it's not just the government. That is an oversimplification. It's a fallacy of oversimplification by generalizing. It's the intriguers from behind the scenes. And these, again, as Washington put it, these combinations and associations by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people. And that's what has happened. Last quote, I mentioned it, but just to referred to it, I should say, but to cite it specifically, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I mentioned this a couple of times, I've mentioned it before, but coming through the Death Cult Ideology series, Bonhoeffer wrote from prison, because this is included in his collection, The Letters and Papers from Prison, Who Stands Fast in this case. Bonhoeffer wrote, "The great masquerade of evil has played havoc with all our ethical concepts. For evil to appear disguised as light, charity, historical necessity, or social justice is quite bewildering to anyone brought up on our traditional ethical concepts. While for the Christian who bases his life on the Bible, it merely confirms the fundamental wickedness of evil." It's always this way, in other words. "The reasonable people's failure is obvious. With the best intentions and a naive lack of realism, they think that with a little reasoning, they can bend back into position the framework that has got out of joint. In their lack of vision, they want to do justice to all sides. And so the conflicting forces wear them down with nothing achieved. Disappointed by the world's unreasonableness, they see themselves condemned to ineffectiveness. They step aside in resignation or collapse before the stronger party. Still more pathetic is the total collapse of moral fanaticism. Fanatics think that their single-minded principles qualify them to do battle with the powers of evil. But like a bull rushing, they rush at the red cloak instead of the person who is holding it. They exhaust themselves and are beaten. They get entangled in in non-essentials and fall into the trap set by cleverer people." So that is the sort of operative concept here. That's one of them anyway. And very unfortunate, to be sure. Anyway, moving on. Or going back, I suppose. I think what we should do probably is, you know, so just to kind of segue back, when prominent, powerful, influential people, when people come to prominence, power, influence, authority, as I have said, you know, anybody who watches an organization, a company, for example, will see that it emulates its leadership, the organization, the leadership, the culture of the leadership will flow down to every level. And in America, people emulate, you know, people in positions of prominence, power, influence, authority. This is the lament of parents often, you know, for a number of years, and I guess still today sort of, but not as much, because we've been conditioned to become an unscrupulous society. Again, Philip Zimbardo, The Lucifer Effect, comes to mind. Prominence, power, influence, authority has a pervasive effect. That gets back to C. Wright Mills' power elite, and again, the influence, for example, of the media darlings, the kind of A-list celebrity crowd, and so forth. And so what is the character of those influencing? And George Soros, again, back to Soros, not to pick on him in particular, because he's just one example of the problem we face. So the article yesterday by Holmes Liebrand over at the Weekly Standard, fact check, George Soros, the thieving Nazi sympathizer, a rewriting of history makes for some strained conspiracies. You know, and there's the Roseanne Barr controversy and Donald Trump Jr. But I think that's all WWF. You know, it's just theater. Because after all, the guy in the White House is a reality TV star. He has participated in, you know, professional wrestling exploits. He never saw a good publicity stunt that he didn't like and couldn't turn away from, if that makes sense. Or, excuse me, that he could turn away from, I suppose I should say. Anyway, I want to go through a series of clips. First up, Dinesh D'Souza, who tweeted the conversation that he had in an interview about George Soros. And again, Steve Kroft's December 20, 1998, 60 Minutes interview of George Soros and what he actually said. So here's something that touched off a lot of this stuff we're still hearing about. And by the way, it's no small point here that I keep coming back to, that George Soros' native Hungary doesn't want him there, doesn't want specifically his Open Society Foundation network, which is essentially the color revolutionary arm of the CIA. Okay? This is why we shouldn't have it here. America, wake up. It's high time for a reawakening and a return to what John Adams referred to in his letter to Hezekiah Niles back in 1818 as a radical change in principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people. That was the real American Revolution. I'm telling you, if that were to occur, people will say in sycophantic cowardice, you think about Google, for example. I mean, maybe Google will get mad. I was thinking about this last night. What if Google gets mad that we're all using DuckDuckGo or some other search engine and says, well, we'll take our toys and go, we'll take our ball and go play elsewhere. There are brilliant minds. We would figure it out. We don't have to be conscripted to evil, and speaking of Google and subject of evil, I have to say before we play this clip, and we need to play it quickly, but there was the story yesterday, wasn't it? I'm looking for it real quick. Google says its military AI work will be guided by ethical principles. The company that is constantly coming under scrutiny for a lack of ethical principles, the company that says don't be evil, that can't stop being evil, wants to reassure you before you even ask the question, don't worry. Its military AI work will be guided by ethical principles. Now, why do you suppose they would say that? That was an Engadget article. Speaking of Engadget articles, one that's causing quite a stir is the article, Google Assistant Fired a Gun, We Need to Talk, which is total propaganda and social engineering, by the way. It points to the video. It's just a short 30-second video that artist Alexander Rebin made, and it's dumb, but it's, you know, social engineering. Anyway, back to the point. Dinesh D'Souza got into hot water when he cited his interview and tweeted, yes, really, George Soros, who now funds violent anti-fascist so-called groups in America, confiscated the property of Jews for Hitler during World War II. And so here is Dinesh D'Souza talking about that. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
to uncover George Soros, the big philanthropist who funds a lot of these anti-fascist groups. He just gave $50,000 to the group called Refuse Fascism, and he poses as a champion of what he calls the open society. Well, I found a very interesting interview that he did with Steve Croft of CBS News, in which Steve Croft asks him, he says to Soros, "Hey Soros, isn't it true that when you were in your teens, you and another guy were going around your native Hungary confiscating the property of Jews and turning it over to the Nazi-dominated regime?" Soros goes, "Yes." "And isn't it true that you, in a sense, became a collection boy for Hitler?" And Soros goes, "Yes, I admit I did." And then Croft says, "And don't you feel bad now looking back on it, all the stuff you did when you were young? You were young, it's to be sure, but surely you can have regrets as an older man." And Soros goes, and this is the key, "I have no regrets." He goes, "All that bad stuff was going to happen anyway. And so I merely played my role. I took advantage of it, just like I take advantage of markets." So here is the secret history of George Soros. Notice that he's been able to get away with this. The left knows about all this, but they give him a pass because he's, quote, fighting fascism. No. When you actually look at Soros's history, you actually see a very dark side, which is confirmed not just by what he did then, but the way he feels about it now.
So, you know, again, here is the salient point. I mean, there are several, actually, but George Soros. So the article, fact check, the Weekly Standard article, fact check, George Soros, the thieving Nazi sympathizer. Now, we'll get to the clip here in a second of the actual interview with Steve Croft, 60 Minutes, December 20, 1998. But it's Nazis fighting fascism. But George Soros is actually a fascist too. So, yeah, that's confusing. Again, back to John Spivak's article series. None of this is good, is the point. So all of these conflicting forces that are being leveraged by the same bad guys for the same bad purposes who create the problem initially, by the way. Again, Richard Sakwa's words, "NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence." That's what bad guys do. The Federal Reserve creates problems. It is sort of the corporatized version of what these same people were doing beforehand. J.P. Morgan spent millions. The money trust, J.P. Morgan, spent millions of dollars 100 years ago in the PR campaign to break the money trust. Think about that. We're running out of time, so I want to give you George Soros in his own words, the interview that Dinesh D'Souza was referring to. This is the night, the December 20, 1998, 60 Minutes interview, Steve Croft interviewing George Soros. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
To Budapest, where George Soros was born 68 years ago, to parents who were wealthy, well-educated, and Jewish.
When the Nazis occupied Budapest in 1944, George Soros' father was a successful lawyer. He lived on an island in the Danube and liked to commute to work in a rowboat. But knowing there were problems ahead for the Jews, he decided to split his family up. He bought them forged papers, and he bribed a government official to take 14-year-old George Soros in and swear that he was his Christian godson. But survival carried a heavy price tag. While hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews were being shipped off to the death camps, George Soros accompanied his phony godfather on his appointed rounds, confiscating property from the Jews.
These are pictures from 1944 of what happened to George Soros' friends and neighbors.
You're a Hungarian Jew who escaped the Holocaust by posing as a Christian.
Right.
And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
Right. I was 14 years old, and I would say that that's when my character was made.
In what way?
That one should think ahead, one should understand and anticipate events, and one is threatened. It was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal experience of evil.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child you don't see the connection, but it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was... well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time?
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep.
Welcome back. So we were listening to George Soros in his own words. Again, the lost 1998 60 Minutes interview, Steve Kroft interviewing George Soros, and the description from this. And, you know, one of the folks who has tried to shed some light on this is James Corbett. It keeps disappearing, this clip. And this, the DiskPad YouTube channel has these remarks. On December 20th, 1998, CBS 60 Minutes aired a bone-chilling interview of George Soros by Steve Kroft and posted it on their website and on YouTube. I last referenced it in 2004. This is a repost in 2016 because it keeps disappearing. At some point before October 2006, CBS scrubbed all traces from the internet. However, partial transcripts still existed. Pamela Geller, for example, included a copy, and it keeps disappearing. So again, here is George Soros, the two most relevant minutes, I think, of the interview. George Soros in his own words. If you're ready, go ahead, please.
In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator. The property was being taken away.
Can we back that up? So 7:59, please.
I had no role in taking it. I was 14 years old.
Thank you.
I would say that that's when my character was made.
In what way?
That one should think ahead, one should understand and anticipate events, and one is threatened. It was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal experience of evil.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt?
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go, I could just as easily be there, I should be there, none of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was, well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator, the property was being taken away. So I had no role in taking away that property. So I had no sense of guilt.
Are you religious?
Leave it to a psychopath to endorse evil. There you go. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentation can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.